Well, good evening. It is so good to see all the visitors we have. Thank you for coming. As always, it is an honor and a privilege to stand before you and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. As always, I ask you to open your Bibles and follow along with me because I never want you to take my word, or for that matter, I never want you to take any man's word, only the word of God. This evening, we're going to talk about old age without the Lord. Old age without the Lord. Now, when I was a member at Expressway Church of Christ, we had the opportunity every Saturday morning to spend some time at one of the local nursing homes. Louis, you may remember that. For about a half an hour or so, we would gather with a group of the residents there, and we would pray, we would sing hymns and spiritual songs, mostly the older, well-known songs such as The Old Rugged Cross, and I'll never forget one old gentleman. Every time we were there, he would holler, "Sing Old Rugged Cross," and we would, and he would just cry like a baby. And oh, it would just touch your heart so much. And then we had studied God's Word for a little while. It was truly one of the things that I looked forward to throughout the week. What a wonderful experience it was. These old people did more to uplift me than I did to uplift them, believe me. It never ceases to amaze me what little effort it takes to brighten up someone else's day. But one Saturday morning we were talking about Acts the 16th chapter, where we see Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, having already been beaten and with their feet made fast in the stocks, and they were there about midnight praying and singing praises unto God. The point made about Paul and Silas actions simply illustrate the fact that as a child of God, you can have joy no matter what circumstances you're in. I don't think I'll ever forget one of the residents there. I don't know if anybody else saw her or not, but it was a little old lady. She smiled and she nodded her head, and I thought, here she is in a nursing home, barely able to do for herself, and yet she's smiling. All of this brought to mind the passage found in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Would you please open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 6. In Ecclesiastes chapter 6, we see Solomon, a man who had nearly every experience possible and drew conclusions about life from them. He wrote in verse 1, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children, and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity, and departed in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to the one place?" Now, some of the happiest and most enjoyable people I've ever been around are old people. And some of the most miserable and bitter people that I've ever been around have been old people also. Some seem to be obsessed with finding a dark cloud with every silver lining, while others are always looking for the silver lining behind the dark clouds. Well, in the passage that we just looked at, Solomon supposes a man to have seen the utmost possible limit of human existence, and then he makes a comparison. He estimates the worth of this good full and long life and says, if his soul be not filled with good, an untimely birth is better than he. Let's look a little more closely this evening at what Solomon has written. In verse 2, he speaks of what man possesses. He writes, "A man to whom God has given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth." For a lot of people, this is the ultimate. This is the ultimate. Can you imagine having everything of a physical nature that you ever desired in life? If you would hold your places in Ecclesiastes 6 and follow, come with me to Luke the 12th chapter. In Luke chapter 12, This reminds me of the parable of the rich man that our Lord taught in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 19. Verse 16, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." So you see, Solomon's conclusion is very much like the Lord's. Jesus concluded that parable by saying, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." For Solomon, the conclusion was that a man could have all this in his life. He could have all the riches. He could have all the honor. He could have all his soul could be filled with good, and an untimely birth is better than that, he says. So what is an untimely birth? It is a baby that is carried from the womb to the grave. In verse 3 of Ecclesiastes chapter 6, Solomon puts forth yet another achievement of man. He said, if a man beget 100 children, even though he has posterity, even though his name will be assuredly carried on, or even though he has clearly demonstrated the ability to produce and reproduce himself time after time, something which men take a great pride in, if in the end the Lord is not in his life, verse 4 and 5 says, he departed in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. He hath not seen the sun nor known anything. The point is, comparatively speaking, even if he has accomplished all of this, and yet he is not with God, he has known nothing about the real purpose of his existence. Then again, Solomon spoke of him as, verse 3, living many years. Then in verse 6 he says, yea, though he lived 1,000 years twice told. But you know what? Longevity means nothing without the Lord. Longevity means nothing without the Lord. Life has only as much value as it yields in service to God, and the joy that such service produces that will endure. Think about Methuselah. We know Methuselah. He lived to be 969 years old. But what effect has he had on the world? All we know about him is his age. On the other hand, Jesus lived to be 33. What impact has he had on the world? Just counting up time is not nearly as important as making time count. Solomon's conclusion in verse 6 is, Yet hath he seen no good, regardless of how long he lived. What Solomon is doing is letting us know exactly how meaningless life is without the Lord. He is telling us of the sorrows of one who passes through this life. In verse 3, he says, his soul is not filled with good. As the years add up, and the body and the mind begins to betray us, what does a person who has lived their life without God really have? Well, first, such a person has passed through a life, a wonderful gift that God has given us in the first place, that upon reflection gives him no comfort in his old age. Bad memories which cannot be shut out bring their load of sorrows and regret. The faithful can look back with pleasure and with serenity, anxiously awaiting the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But what about the one who has passed through life without God? What anguish must arise in the heart of him from looking back at a wasted life? Looking back on all the neglected opportunities to help someone, to talk to someone about the gospel, to show kindness and appreciation for your partner in life, to develop a relationship with your children, and to impact them in the way of the Lord. These will all be there in old age to haunt the one who has turned his back on the Lord. Most opportunities, once they are gone, can never be recalled. This is just one facet of the sorrows of old age without the Lord. So what if one has spent his life drinking and smoking and just living it up, abusing their bodies and influencing others to do the same thing? What happy memories do you suppose that will bring when their old age comes and There's little else to do but to reminisce about the past. Sickness and the inability of various physical organs to function as they should often follow a life of self-indulgence and self-centeredness in which the Lord has been forgotten. What if one has spent his life in sexual indulgence? What if one has spent his life in sexual indulgence? He or she may not only suffer physically, but it is very possible that the pangs of conscience will haunt that person to the grave. What memories, broken homes and broken vows and betrayed mate to whom the person promised to be faithful for life? And what of the children and grandchildren? Neither the person nor the children will have happy memories of coming home to a happy, uninhibited gathering to talk and reminisce. Why? Because a lot of what could be reminisced about is hurtful and it's dirty. In such a life, there is usually a loss of respect for the one who did not keep their vows to their partner and to God. Often there is bitterness and resentment towards the third party who intruded into the marriage. The way it is supposed to be in old age is set forth in Proverbs 17:6, where Solomon wrote, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." What really is sad, and I've seen it and you've seen it, you see it so much in nursing homes, when such children have totally lost respect and they don't even come to visit. No wonder Solomon described it as "that hath no burial" in verse 3 of Ecclesiastes 6. You know, if you have God, even if all your blood family is already gone, you will always have your brothers and your sisters in Christ. I've been to a few funerals where there's just a tiny handful because people had not God. Thus, no brothers and sisters in Christ, and they were alone. How sad that funeral is. I've seen it. There's no way to describe that kind of loneliness. A person who has lived life without God and come to the old age is passing forward to an eternity for which he is totally unprepared. How scary that must be. Just think, how scary that must be to come to the end of your life without having God in your life. I can't think of anything more dismal than sending an unprepared person on a life-threatening message. If I am not thoroughly prepared to do something, then I always feel uneasy right before doing it. What it must be like to face death unprepared. What it must be like to face death unprepared. No one has to. Do you remember our Lord's parable in Matthew the 25th chapter? I wish you'd come with me if you will. Matthew chapter 25. When we get to Matthew 25, we're going to read verses 1 through 13. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and he said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" I don't believe there's any sadder words anywhere than "the door is shut." No more frightening words to hear, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." A person who has lived his life without the Lord has experienced the vanity of the world, and looking back, he has nothing to take its place. Let me tell you something. This world This world recedes and it disappears. It rots, it rusts, and it corrupts. Just think what Jesus said in Matthew the 6th chapter. Look with me quickly if you'd like. Matthew the 6th chapter, verses 19 through 21. Very familiar passage to most Bible students. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." All of the pleasures of sin really do prove to be but for a season. The joy it provides does not last, and the initial sweet taste of sin leaves a bitter and nasty aftertaste. So now here he is. He's afraid of hell and unable to appreciate the thought of heaven. It is a hopeless, sad state of affairs. The sorrows of old age without God are profound indeed, brethren. Now, my friends, I have not spent this time this evening just trying to depress you. That in itself would serve no purpose. But the message is urgent and the application is twofold. Young people, take it as a warning. Do not procrastinate. Do not put off being a Christian and serving the Lord. It may very well be now or never. In Proverbs 8 and verse 17 we read, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Please remember your Creator while you're young. Don't wait until the habits are formed and you find yourself set in your ways. Be a Christian now. Second, and finally, those who are older, give immediate attention to where you are spiritually. There's not a moment to lose, for your soul is on the edge of eternity. Proverbs 16 and verse 31 says, "The gray head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." Now someone, I'm not quite sure, gave me the following, and I want to pass it along to you. It's called the 10 Golden Rules for the Elderly. 10 Golden Rules for the Elderly. First, try to be apart. Sometimes hard, but only those older people who maintain social relationships stay happy and healthy. Second, live with old age. You've lived with every other age. Third, accept that challenge. It's not time to quit. There's work to do. Find out what you can do and do it. My mother was teaching a Bible class when she was 90 years old when she died. Brother Rainwater, I understand, was still preaching when he was in his 80s. Fourth, offer yourself. Others might like your help but are afraid to ask, so offer. Fifth, command respect. Care yourself as well as your health and age will allow. Stand up for old age. Six, teach someone something. You can leave a legacy that will live on and multiply many times over if you just teach someone some good thing. Seven, make friends of the young. To have a friend, you must be a friend. Young friends will benefit from such a relationship and keep you thinking young too. Eighth, pass it on. Pass the torch. Don't just yell, "Boy, get off of my porch or I'll sick my dogs on you." No, don't do that. Invite him onto the porch and teach him how to whittle. Don't screech at that little girl who chases the ball into your yard. Invite her to have a glass of lemonade with you and make a friend with her. Then teach her about the Lord. Ninth, get out of yourself. Do something for others. There's no place for selfishness in the life of any Christian, young or old. And tenth and final, continue to put God first. The nearer we come to the end of our journey, the greater should be the motivation to prepare wisely for eternity. These certainly are 10 golden rules for the elderly to live by. There's one last passage I'd like for us to look at, if you will. It's Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. One of my very, very favorite passages in all Scripture, and what a warning it is. Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. Now our Lord gives us this warning. He says, "So likewise, ye, When you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. When you have done all those things that are commanded us, we're to say we're still an unprofitable servant. We have done only that which is our duty to do. Think about that. Take heed. Take heed of this warning. Don't quit. Don't ever, ever quit regardless of your age. Don't ever quit regardless of how old you are. We cannot place God in our debt. We cannot earn our salvation regardless of our age. We must never quit working for the Lord, for the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. That's the warning that Paul gave the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. You remember the parable that we read earlier from the 10 virgins? And how Jesus ended the parable by saying, watch. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. We as disciples are told to watch. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13 says, watch, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit like men, be strong. And Peter warned the disciples, say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking to whom he may devour. So let us all watch, brethren. Let us all watch and beware, for we have been warned. Jesus tells us in Mark 13 and verse 23, but take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. I have foretold you all things. So take heed, brethren. Indeed, we have been warned. And if you're not a Christian, if you are not a Christian, I plead with you and I beg you to come forward while there's still time. Confess Jesus as the Son of God and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're an unfaithful Christian, I ask you too to come forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. If you need the prayers of the church, come now as we stand and as we sing.